This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could the online sales tax loophole soon be gone? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments that will reverberate throughout the worlds of shopping, online shopping, and funding for state and local governments. Lawyers for South Dakota will argue that out-of-state businesses should pay South Dakota state and local taxes if they ship a product to that state. This would be regardless if that company has a physical presence in the state. eBay is among companies opposing South Dakota, but not Amazon. Marketplace's tech host Molly Wood is following this.
What happens now is that online retailers can offer what looks like a better price because it doesn't include tax. In the case of retailers like Wayfair and Overstock and Newegg, that lower price might actually be the one advantage that they have over Amazon. Amazon, as you remember, spent a lot of years working hard not to collect sales tax, but now it does. And we talked to experts who said Amazon might be losing business to some of those companies. So Amazon actually stands to potentially benefit if the government wins and stores have to collect taxes across the board.
Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech. Smaller businesses worry about the cost of calculating tax for tens of thousands of jurisdictions, but others say there could be an app for that. There's news this morning that while developers started work on a lot of apartments last month, construction on single-family homes looks a bit tepid. Developers complain buildable land is hard to find and the cost of construction materials is up. This underscores another report this week that suggests we're still not building new homes fast enough to fix the shortage of housing in America. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more.
Home building in 22 states hasn't kept up with demand since the year 2000, according to a report commissioned by Up for Growth, a group that includes builders, real estate developers, and chambers of commerce. It says housing is 7 million units short nationally. Half that shortage is in California, but
the issue isn't just a coastal issue, and it's not just a California issue.
That's Mike Kinsella, the group's executive director. The report found there are also shortages in states like Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. Kinsella says his group is pushing for policies that allow more rapid building in urban centers.
We need to build more units in livable communities that are walkable to jobs and walkable to transportation.
Up for Growth's estimate that we're 7 million homes short is bigger than most. USC business professor Richard Green points out the Urban Institute estimates it's more like 3 or 4 million. But he says,
one way or the other, we need a lot more houses than we actually have.
Green says to fix the nationwide problem, one idea might be to revisit zoning restrictions in urban areas. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org. We're continuing to follow Starbucks' response to a store manager in Philadelphia calling the cops on two men who had not yet ordered anything. The men, who are black, say they were waiting for a friend to arrive, who later did arrive. The two were arrested for trespassing, but police say they won't press charges. Starbucks CEO Kevin Johnson calls the incident reprehensible and says he now has plans to apologize to the men face to face. Starbucks says more training to address unconscious bias is on the way. Gene Bliss is a customer service expert and author of the book about customer service called Would You Do That to Your Mother?
What's interesting to me is that Starbucks has worked hard to establish themselves as the third place. you know, the place you go besides home or work where you can linger. And so for me, there's not only a training issue with employees and a communication issue, but also a brand disconnect here. You know, it's weird to me that they would have booted somebody out because they were hanging out too long. So if you don't know what else might be happening, of course, unconscious bias enters the picture. But then unconscious bias training has had many, many varied outcomes, as you may know.
Well, I want to ask you about that. I remember seeing some data about anti-sexual harassment training. Does it actually work? You've thought a lot about this. What about the unconscious bias training? Does it work?
You know, I think that part of the problem with any kind of training is that it's situational. It's probably has a reasonable to high effective rate, but it's not a 100%. So there has to be other things that occur inside of the organization as well, such as a very brand and cultural awareness and understanding of this on an ongoing basis. It has to be talked about. So it's not a one and done kind of a process.
So this notion of Starbucks as the third place, not just home, not just work, I mean, that would include, I would like to use the bathroom, please. And, you know, if it's essentially almost a public space, you know, there is this policy that if you don't buy something, you don't get to use the bathroom at some of these outlets. There seems to be a tension just with that policy.
You know, we've all walked into an establishment where you feel like you're being eyed a little bit, right, or assessed. That is also part of this unconscious bias we have. Who belongs here? As you are hiring and understanding the human behind the resume, there needs to be that part of the process to really get into, is there anything there that could come out later that would impact your customer and your culture and your brand experience as well?
Jean Bliss, founder and president of Customer Bliss, author of the book, Would You Do That to Your Mother? Ms. Bliss, thank you very much for this.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And should middle school kids have to stow their smartphones in their lockers during the school day? There's a campaign, marketplace.org, if you missed the discussion on the air. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.